Do you need proof that social media alters our brain chemistry? Let's see what happens inside frequent users' heads when they see the Facebook logo. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with a fascinating study after this.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
Are you a Facebook fiend? New research shows that if you're a regular user, simply seeing the Facebook logo induces a strong urge to log on to receive the instant gratification you get from swiping and liking on the app. People who experience this drive to pull out their phones all report that social media interferes with their productivity and personal goals. And that's not surprising. Apps like Facebook are designed to manipulate the brain's production of dopamine to get us hooked, because the more time we scroll, the more money they make. So do yourself a favor and remove it from your phone. You'll thank me later. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the AI-free email alternative.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hey, good afternoon. Catherine Albrecht here, broadcasting once again, not on YouTube. So if you're there looking for me, you won't find me there. I'm on audio today on KHNC. You can also go to Catherine-Albrecht.com. And on there, if you click on radio show, you can listen to the program live and stream it right off my website. And you can also join me in the chat room. Speaking of which, let me make sure I actually have that window here in front of me and can say hi to you there. So it's Catherine-Albrecht, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E-A-L-B-R-E-C-H-T. I'm going to try to come up with something a little catchier that I don't have to spell every single time, but here I am. Okay, so I'm in the chat room as well. Today, I have a couple things I want to talk about. The section on my website that is titled Spiritual Health currently contains, I think, some of the most important audio, well, one of the most important audio messages I've ever heard, and it is called the Grace Series. It's put out by Freedom in Christ Ministries, the Steps to Freedom, Neil Anderson, all the deliverance stuff that I'm always talking about, to give you increased freedom in your walk with Jesus Christ and with God. The six audios there. We're in the process of putting up new players that will be easier to navigate and maneuver around, and label those with the proper labels. I think it's like free and I don't know. Let me get those. Hang on. I'll tell you in just a minute what those six ones are. Hang on. I have them here somewhere. Thought I had them right in front of me. That's what happens when you have too many windows. All right, here we go. Number one is free. And it talks about your freedom in Christ. That's why it's called Freedom in Christ Ministries. Number two, innocent. It talks about how we do not have to be guilty or feel guilt for the things that we've done. We did at one point have guilt, but if we bring that guilt before the Lord and if we are forgiven for it, if we repent of it and ask forgiveness, we're washed as white as snow. We do not need to be guilty Number three is Unashamed. And it's interesting because what I really like about number three is it goes into a discussion between the difference between guilt and shame. And they're very different. Guilt is when you know you've done something wrong and your conscience is bugging you. You shouldn't have fill in the blank. You did that and you are guilty of having done that. And until we confess our sins, until we confess our guilt to the Lord, and until we ask Him to, well, He's gracious and merciful and quick to forgive, but until we ask for forgiveness, we are not forgiven, and we walk around with a big burden of guilt. But guilt is pretty easy to resolve, at least in the spiritual arena, by bringing it before the Lord and being forgiven. A sense of carrying around guilt in your heart is something I want to get to on another program. I was thinking of doing the show on this today, which was your heart carrying around things that are false. And your heart, the Bible tells us the heart is desperately wicked. I would add to that the heart is two other things. It is desperately stupid. Your heart is not your brain. It does not have brain cells. It doesn't have logic. And your heart is desperately stubborn. Stubborn, like immovable, like it is just going to dig in its heels all the way, put down roots to the core of the earth and never be budged. So that's the heart. The heart is wicked. The heart is stupid. And the heart sometimes thinks it's helping you and protecting you when it's really just being stubborn and hurting you. But by gosh, it's not going to stop because that's what it's going to do. And that's the heart. So in your heart, if your heart believes you're guilty of something, it's hard to get rid of that feeling because your heart says, I'm not letting that go. I don't care how much the mind comes up with logic. I'm holding on to this feeling. I'm going to hold on to this feeling of guilt. And of course, the enemy, he's the accuser, the devil himself and all his minions, they're the accusers. So all day long, they'll be saying, you did this. And so there's really a process of overcoming guilt and getting it out of your life. And it's really an important one, but that's not what the show is about. I want to talk about number three. So I'm talking about the six audio recordings. Each one is about an hour long. They're on my website, katherine-albrecht.com. If you click on spiritual health, you'll see them there. There are six of them. Every single person I've ever showed these to, with one exception, and that's a whole other story, but with that one exception, every single other person who's listened to them said, that changed my life. It changed my life. That's why I took, why I've gone to all the trouble to put it on my website and make it available to you, because it changes lives. It changed my life when I listened to it. It changed the lives of people I've cared about when they've listened to it. Because what it does is it clarifies and gets you past a lot of false beliefs about guilt and about God and about how, is He looking at us and is He just shaking His finger and pointing a finger at us and saying, do better, or is He looking at us with love and acceptance no matter what? And the answer is the second one. He's looking at us with love and acceptance, but we don't know that. And I don't think it's our natural way to feel about really anybody in authority over us, right? And if we're not doing what they expect, then we expect authorities over us to be, perhaps unkind about that, or perhaps have harsh expectations of us, or even not harsh expectations, but expectations we can't live up to. And in our human selves, it is common to feel that we just don't measure up. Because it's one thing to measure up to a boss or a parent or a spouse or other responsibilities, but measuring up to God, measuring up to God's standards, His standard is perfection. But what's so beautiful in this whole series, this six-part series, is that by the time you get to the end of it, you will realize that God does not care. This is crazy. Bear with me. God doesn't care about your mistakes. He does. He cares about them insofar as you recover from them, you heal from them, you are forgiven for them, you repent of them, you regret them, you change, and you learn. But He doesn't define us by our mistakes like humanity does. God cares about your heart and your relationship with Him. And so I'll be doing another show on the heart. I have many things to say about the heart and how it has to change if we're going to be truly free and truly have the fruits of the Spirit of joy and love and all those good things. But let me go on. So the first one is free. Second one is innocent. The third one is unashamed. And let me talk about the difference between shame and guilt, because it's important. Guilt is when you have done a thing that you ought to feel guilty about. Shame is when you feel that your actual being is not acceptable, that there's something inherent, intrinsic about who you are that makes you uniquely unacceptable. And if we look back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden fruit. They disobeyed God. They ate a fruit that caused all kinds of problems that we're still living with today. They, when God returned or came into the garden, they did not say, we're so sorry. We repent. Please forgive us. We're guilty of a sin. We did something wrong. We disobeyed you. That's not what they said. Instead, what they said is, as soon as they ate the fruit, they realized they were naked, and they started trying to make themselves some clothes. And when God appeared, they said, we were afraid when we heard you in the garden, not because we disobeyed you, because we're guilty, because we committed a sin, but because we are ashamed, because we realized we're naked. And so Adam and Eve really screwed up back then, because they never even acknowledged their sin or their guilt or their need to ask forgiveness. But what happened to them is something that still happens to us to this day, because we inherited it from them, is a deep sense of shame. Just a sense that in the eyes of a holy God, we just don't measure up. When he looks at us, what does he see? Well, when he looked at Adam and Eve, what did he see? They were naked, and they were horrified, and they were ashamed. And it wasn't so much the nakedness and their genitalia being exposed and all of that. It's a deeper meaning. It means that God was actually seeing them, that they didn't have anything to hide behind, that they didn't have a way to shield themselves from that all-knowing glance or glare, or it wasn't even a glare, but just that all-knowing sight that God was looking at them. And they, in that harsh spotlight, said, yikes, don't look at us. We're not good. We got to hide. We got to get away from your looking at us, because there's something intrinsically shameful about who we are. And so they tried to make clothes for themselves. God actually made them clothes out of animal skins, which was the first technology, actually. I haven't meant much to say about Adam and Eve and technology, but in any event, that's the ashamed part. And if you're feeling shame, well, join the human race. We all feel that, but God sets us free from that. All right, stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
I am the Lord who opened the way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I am the Lord who opened the way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea.
Back, he does that. He makes a path. He makes a way. He's one of his names is Waymaker. There's a song about that. It just means he makes a way. When you can't see a way, when you can't find your own solution to a problem, just step back, say a prayer, and watch what God will do. Because when he finds a way, it's often a way that we didn't even think of. It didn't even cross our minds. And we're like, wow, what a great solution. You know, it's interesting. Yesterday morning, as I was kind of tossing and turning before I woke up, like, 4, 5, 6 in the morning, I had this, I don't know, I even got up and wrote it down. it was such a strong, I don't normally, God doesn't usually speak to me in my dreams or in my sleep or anything. I know he does with some people, and he certainly does throughout the Bible, but I haven't really had that experience. But it felt like that yesterday morning. I felt like I was being told something. And what I was being told is, don't fret or struggle, but stand back and watch me work. Yeah, it was just a very strong, very interesting, and I got it over and over. Like, I woke up and I was like, okay, and I fell back asleep and I got it again, and I woke up and it was like, that's my message. So I think it's a message for really all of us, especially in this crazy time that we're living in, because there's a sense that we are going to have to roll up our sleeves and fix things ourselves, right? Yesterday I did a show that horrified me, and, or not yesterday, yesterday I had my CMH community mental health meeting, board meeting, my monthly second Tuesday board meeting, but the day before, so that would be Monday, I played that awful clip from Reddit, from TikTok that was on Reddit, of the eighth grade teacher, history teacher, who was talking about how out of 100 students, only 2 are reading at grade level, and many of them don't even understand basic instructions. I mean, literally, like, write on a separate piece of paper the answer to these questions, and they wrote on the same paper right under the questions and copied the questions. Like, that's what are you, like, I won't say, what are you thinking? You're not thinking. What's going on? So that was scary. That was scary. I left Monday's show. I mean, the reason I did Monday's show the way I did was because, I mean, the reason I made that my topic was because it horrified me so much. And I think we have, I'll get back to the series in just a second, but I think we have this feeling, which is normal, right? When something's wrong, we have a feeling, well, we just need to fix it. Especially those of us who are moms. Those, you men are probably like, what makes you think you have a handle on that? You have a monopoly on this. But certainly as a mom, when your kids are having a problem, or your community, your husband, your life, whatever, there's a problem, it's like you kind of step up to the plate and you fix it. Or at least you try to be supportive. And so I think we have this sense when we look at society as well, that that's what we ought to do. And I spent many years of my life being an advocate and doing much that kind of thing of, you know, I started Spy Chips because we had to fight against RFID, and I started NoCards.org because we had to fight against supermarket cards. All these things that were coming our way, these dark things that were coming at us. So I was like, well, somebody's got to speak out against this. Somebody's got to fight it. Currently, my thing that I'm fighting is artificial intelligence, because it's just evil, wicked, and straight from the pit of hell. But what I was realizing after Monday's show is that we're not going to solve the problems with our young people. We're not going to solve the fact that 98 out of 100 kids in a standard, you know, just basic, it's not special ed, but just in a basic history class in eighth grade can't even think. We're not going to solve that. And there's so many articles. I mean, you'll see them in the headlines, how social media is just rotting kids' brains, how five-year-olds are. I was reading one where a nursery school teacher was saying that some of the kids who come into nursery school lack the core strength to sit up. Right? Ponder that for a minute. Lack the strength to sit up. Some of them are getting kids in nursery school, preschool, 4 years old, sometimes in, even in kindergarten, who are still in diapers, whose parents have not even potty trained them. And there they are on their iPhones or their pad, I guess their iPads when they're kids. We're not going to fix that, folks. I hate to say it. In a previous era of my life, you know, and I've been around a lot of decades now. I grew up in the 70s. I've been here a while. And my previous optimism, I suppose, or my drive, my enthusiasm to go out there and change the world and make, you know, be an advocate and fight for causes, it has shifted a little bit as I grow more mature and as the world grows darker. It is going to be impossible. We're not going to change this. We're not going to bring the penguins back to Antarctica. We're not going to bring, you know, we're just not. Are they in Antarctica? I think that's where they are. We're not going to fix these things. We're not going to get rid of the mountains of microplastics. We're not going to stop the data centers from taking over. We're not going to get rid of the AI slop. We're not going to somehow miraculously return literacy to our kids. It's just not going to happen. And in some ways, it's a big relief that I don't have to go and start 1,000 advocacy organizations, because that's how many I would need to start. Of course, my natural inclination is to go, what, kids can't read? Well, I'm going to start a campaign. I'm going to educate parents, and I'm going to get them to stop putting iPads in their kids' hands, and right? All these things I'm going to do. And then I realize that what we're called to do, and this is what I was saying about yesterday morning when, you know, the Lord was telling me, in my spirit, very strongly, don't fret, don't fuss, don't struggle, don't roll up your sleeves and do your usual thing and do a ton of million activities and work and just work your fingers to the bone to solve it, because that's not the time for this. Now, I have a feeling that the things he had me do before, I mean, I really did feel called to start to write spy chips and to fight against supermarket cards, so I don't regret that. But that's just not what we're being called to do right now. What we are being called to do in this particular moment of history is to allow God to work through us, right? That's profound. That it is not, no amount of me rolling up my sleeves and starting a whole new Caspian or a whole new NoCards.org or writing another Spy Chips is going to change things in any lasting and meaningful way. But God can change things in profound ways. So a big part, and I just wanted to pass on that message because it was so beautiful. I woke up going, wow, you know, stop fretting, stop fussing, stop struggling, stop stressing, stop worrying, stop feeling that you somehow personally have to solve the problem, and instead submit to me, obey me, follow me, let me work through you, let me work in the world, and watch what I'm going to do. So that's currently where I'm at. And the very first step in doing the Steps to Freedom in Christ is listening to this audio series. My church, Crossroads Community Church with Pastor Anthony Farrell, on my, well, I guess I spearheaded the project to get Freedom in Christ ministry in there and the Steps to Freedom in there. So we're taking people through freedom appointments. We're taking people through the 7 steps to freedom in Christ. But before they can do the steps, they have to listen to these 6 audios. So it's the introductory thing you've got to do first in order to begin the process. All right, so let me go back. I'm not going to say too much about the contents of them because I want you to listen to them. But the first one is free. Second one is innocent. Third one is unashamed. And that's a huge one. I think we all, I mean, first of all, I needed to listen to every single one of these because it just changed my life. But to realize that I don't need to be ashamed because I'm flawed. I don't need to be ashamed because I am stained or because I am shot through with sin. I don't need to be ashamed because God covers all that up and sets me free from it. So I don't feel shame, actually. I was having a conversation with a friend about this today, and I was explaining these audios. And in fact, we were listening together to the beginning of the Unashamed one. And she asked me, you know, brought up a recent situation where I was in a tough position. I had to be the one person to speak out about something that needed addressing, and nobody else would speak up. It was just me, doing my usual. I'm like, why do I do this all the time? But sure enough, I stand up and I go, this is wrong. And I was met with a lot of opposition, as you can imagine. That typically is what happens when, you know, you do have some people like the little kid who goes, the emperor's wearing no clothes, and people go, that's right, I noticed that too. But you also got people like the emperor who goes, who the heck are you to say that? You know, off with his head. And she was asking me, you know, did you feel ashamed? Did you feel, you know, like you wanted to hide, like you just wanted to crawl in a corner when all those people were coming against you? I'm like, actually, no, I didn't. And then I thought back and I thought, I haven't felt that sense of shame since going through Freedom in Christ and listening to this audio series. So I strongly recommend it. Some people at my church, they're even recommending people listen to it all the way through twice and take notes the second time. The first time, just listen to it. But it's great. It's corny. They tell stupid, stupid jokes. It's like there's two guys and they tell great. I mean, it's entertaining. It's not like you're listening to some really, you know, heavy duty lecture from a huge cathedral that's very serious. No, they're very down to earth, very joking, talking in everyday terms, telling silly stories and dumb jokes and stories about wanting a horse when they were kids and all kinds of stuff. So I highly recommend it. It will change your walk with the Lord. Number four, after unashamed, is courageous. So many of us struggle with a sense of not only fear with people, but a sense of sort of impending doom. Right? I think this is a time when the devil would very much like to make us all very afraid. Be afraid, I'm big and scary, but he's not. So courageous is about the courage and strength and confidence we can have as we walk into our authority in Christ. Speaking of authority, number five is humble, humility. Pastor Anthony put this to me really, really well. He said, we are to walk in humility and authority at the same time. Wow. That's usually people are one or the other, right? People are either really humble and self-effacing and putting others, you know, or they're really authoritarian. Well, I'm in charge around here, and that's the opposite of humble. But Jesus Christ was a perfect example of a combination of humility, love, and authority. So all at the same time, he was both humble and had tremendous authority. He overturned the tables in the temple. I mean, those were like the leaders of the whole society, and he had no problem going in there saying, I have authority over you. Yeah. All right, stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
I, the Lord, made you, and I will not forget you. I have swept away your sins like a cloud. I, the Lord, made you.
And he has. So, swept away your sins. That's the innocent part. That is audio number two on here. So, this is a 6-hour series. I highly recommend listen through it one time all the way through. I'll tell you the other one. So, it's free, innocent, unashamed, courageous, humble, and then the final one is fruitful. Fruitful. Fruitful is when you get free of all the other stuff, and then you're free to be productive. Then you're free to actually be used. Then you're free to do really good things. Because once you're free of all the things that hold you back, all the things that slow you down, all the things that scare you out of action and into inaction, all the things that paralyze you and cause you to not be fruitful or even to be potentially a hindrance to the betterment of the world, once those are cleared up, you'll find that the next thing that happens is Spirit will work through you and you'll be fruitful. Can't help it. It's a wonderful thing. All right. So I had said, let me think here. So anyway, it's a 6-hour series. Let me just finish that. 6-hour series. Listen through it once. We are, Peter is in the process of putting together a different interface, so they're a little bit easier to get through, and so they also have transcripts. He is probably going to get that done by tonight, but that doesn't stop you from just going ahead and starting. So go to katherine-albrecht.com. There is a menu, and in the menu, I think it's like the fifth or sixth one down, it says spiritual health. There's nothing on there except these six audio part one, part two, all the way up through part six. So I've asked him to put the titles on there: Free, Innocent, Unashamed, Courageous, Humble, and Fruitful, and to give us a little better, a little more fine-tuned control so that we can fast forward, we can back up, we can remember where we were, and hopefully even have a transcript of it so you can even print it out, follow along, or read it later. But I recommend listening through it once and then listen through it a second time and take notes. I can't say enough good about it. Every single person, with the exception of one, which I'll tell you about in a sec here, every person has just said, changed my life, completely changed my life. Now, let me tell you about the person whose life it did not change, so you can know the reason why. So I have a friend, acquaintance, who has, like all of us, been deeply hurt. Right? All of us. There's not a person out there. This is why one of the steps, and not here, but in the steps to freedom, is forgiveness. It's huge. Because we all have something to forgive. We all have something that has been done to us that was the result of someone else's sin that we were harmed by and that we carry with us. So the step of forgiveness is huge. Well, she, like all the rest of us, had been deeply harmed by someone. And was, like all the rest of us, and I believe probably still is, struggling mightily with forgiveness. Not wanting to let that person off the hook. Not wanting to forgive that person. I have talked about this before. I might as now as good a time as any to mention it again. The reason we forgive is not because we're condoning the person's behavior, because we're excusing it, or because, see, our forgiveness isn't like God's. God's forgiveness says, washed it clean, can't even sin anymore, it's gone. It's erased, no more sin. When we forgive, that's not what happens. We don't forgive. Like, when God forgives us for sins we commit, he removes them as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. And when he looks upon us, he does not see our sinful, broken, shameful selves. He sees the beauty and perfection of his son, Jesus Christ. Because when we repent, when we are forgiven, when we ask forgiveness, he forgives freely. And then we become washed as clean and as white as snow like his son. So that's who he sees us. When we forgive others, I think this is where some of the confusion comes up. We think that if we forgive others, we're doing the same thing, that we will see them no more, that no one will ever hold them to account for that awful thing that they did to us. And nothing could be further from the truth. The forgiveness of God is supernatural, spiritual, beyond comprehension. We can't do it, nor are we supposed to. But the forgiveness of a person says, I'm going to step out of this equation of your sin because that is now solely between you and God. And God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God is perfectly just. He will never let anybody, even one snarky word, one snarky thought, one ugly thought, one negative anything, any sin at all, and we're committing them, you know, thousands of times a day, every single one of them will be confronted and there will be justice for them. Right? That's a pretty heavy thought. If someone has harmed you, the only way that they can get forgiveness with God is to go before him and say, I accept your son, Jesus Christ, and I ask him to remove the sin from me, his punishment that he received to atone for my sin so I can be set free. And for the most part, the people who harm us haven't done that, have they? Right? Most of the people who have hurt us the most deeply, I'm talking about like abusive parents and rapists and murderers and monsters and Hitlers and all those people who have deeply hurt other people are not forgiven. They're just not, because God, they have to answer to God for every single thing they did, not just to you, but to every other person they've hurt too, and everything they've done to him. They're just like riddled with sin that will have to be punished. It's like they have massive quantities of punishment coming to them because sin deserves death. That is the penalty of sin, is death. So when you forgive another person, you are not saying, oh, they're there, it's okay. Let's just wash it away like God does, right? God says, they're there, it's okay, it's gone, never to be brought up again. That's not what happens when you forgive. So if you're a Jew and you forgive Hitler for murdering your family, you are not saying, I let you off the hook, you're no longer responsible, and you're now washed clean and white as Jesus. It's no way. What you're doing when you forgive another person And I have my little diagram. I've talked about this before. I need to just draw it, or get, if anybody out there is a good artist, you can message me on my Catherine-Albert.com. There's a message me at the bottom. I would love to have a good sketch artist to help me with this. So as I describe it, if you're an artist and you think you could draw it, let me know. So I have this picture of a big meanie stick figure, because it's about all I can draw, and a little small stick figure. And the big meanie stick figure is kind of like bapping the little small stick figure. And the big meanie one has a bad, mean look on his little stick figure face. And the little small one has a, help, look on his little small stick figure face. Okay. And up in heaven, there's a cloud above them, which represents God. And the moment that big meanie hurts that little guy, immediately there is a lightning bolt coming down from the cloud, from God, onto that person. And that is the justice due to them for their sin. That is the justice. That's the punishment coming to them for what they did to you. Now, if you do not forgive that person, here's what you're doing. You're the little guy, and you are reaching up with your little hand, and you are grabbing hold of that lightning bolt, and you are being electrocuted. You ever seen the cartoons where they have like the cat? I don't know. I always picture a cat. And he touches some electric wire and all his hair bristles out and his tail stands out straight. And you can see his skeleton as he like fries back and forth and his eyes go wide. Okay, well, that's you when you don't forgive. So forgiving another person is not saying they don't deserve punishment because, oh my gosh, they got punishment coming for them. It's just letting go of their punishment, letting go of the lightning bolt between them and God, because it's really between them and God. So when someone hurts you, get out of the way of the punishment coming for them. Duck. Like, let go. Get yourself as far away from that as you can. And what then happens once you let go and realize that they are still absolutely bound with a lightning bolt of complete eternal punishment and horrible punishment, because you'll never be able to punish them as badly as God will. You can never do justice the way God can do justice. And his justice is perfect. He doesn't just want to hurt people for the sake of it, but he punishes unrepentant sin big time. So at that point, once you let go of the lightning bolt, you will find a freedom to yourself that you've never experienced before. Once you let go of the punishment coming to other people for things they did to you. So you step back, you let go of the lightning bolt, let it continue to fry them. They can be the cat with the skeleton and the frying around with their eyes bugging out of their heads, because they're in that relationship with God because of their unrepentant sin. And what you'll find yourself doing eventually, and this is what we're actually told to, is to pray for them. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for those who abuse you. Pray for those who have harmed you. And you're like, how can I do that? They deserve punishment. Well, they're getting punishment big time. Don't doubt that for a minute. It's coming. But the reason you pray for them is because when you see that lightning bolt from God onto that person, even if it's Hitler, even if it's Stalin, even if it's the worst, horrible, monstrous abuser, when you see that lightning bolt, a part of you says, if that person would just repent, if they would just turn and repent and apologize and realize the harm they've done and change their ways and turn to God and be saved, turn to Jesus and be saved, well, that would be a better outcome than having them fry forever in hell with this lightning bolt on them. And so I have found myself, even with the people who've most harmed me, and we've all been really harmed, so you can only imagine your worst harm. Well, I've got similar ones. But I pray for those people. And what I pray for them is not that they're going to be punished, because that's going to happen. I don't have to pray about that. That's already in process. They've already got the lightning bolt. I see it. I pray for them to turn to Jesus as I have done, so that that lightning bolt that belongs on them will have already fallen on Jesus back at the cross, and they can experience the same freedom I have from my own sins. And if they do that, they will repent. They will feel terrible for what they did to you, and they will turn and sin no more. So I find myself, for the people who have harmed me horribly, saying, God, I want out. I'm letting go of the lightning bolt. Don't want to be part of that loop. I'm going to forgive. You're going to do justice. And boy, I pray they find Jesus so they don't have to experience that justice, because it's going to hurt. All right, stay tuned.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com. Thank you.
I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I made you, and I will care for you.
All right, I'm back. Yeah, he absolutely will, and he will forgive, and he is quick to forgive. So I once again, I got on my favorite topic of forgiveness. It used to not be my favorite topic back in the day when I had experts on the show and gave out books about forgiveness. I was like, not feeling it, even though I was doing shows on it and telling other people they ought to do it, and I was really trying my best to do it, and I just was really struggling with this concept of forgiveness because it just didn't seem right to me. It didn't seem fair. It didn't seem just. But now, with my new understanding that God, when you forgive, that doesn't mean God forgives, and our forgiveness of others is what sets us free, but it does not set them free. God's forgiveness of us sets us free, but us forgiving others does not set them free. In fact, if anything, it just puts them even more firmly into God's grip of justice and punishment. So it's critical that we forgive, and we do not forgive thinking that it's making everything okay and they're now going to be able to just cruise along and never be punished for what they did, because they will be. So now let me tell you about the lady who did not like this audio series. Just one person out of all the people I know, and I've referred my entire church to this. I've referred so many people to this, but just one person didn't like it. And I was like, wait, what, you didn't like it? She's like, no, I feel worse than I did before listening to this. God is not good. And I'm like, what? So what you'll get out of this amazing series is a truer, clearer, more accurate understanding of how much God loves us. There's not a real emphasis on God's love of us in churches. In fact, I think it opens with a survey by the Barna Research Group that they asked a bunch of people in churches, a bunch of Christians, yes or no, the Christian life is summed up by doing your best to live right. And something like 86%, you'll hear it in the series, but something like 86% of people say yes. And like 50% of people say yes strongly and say yes. Well, it's not true. The Christian life is not about acting and behaving and doing the right thing. It's not. The Christian life is about keeping your heart connected to God. That's it. That's it. And there's only one way you can do that. You can only do that by confessing your sins, by bringing it all out on the table in front of him. The minute you try to hide a sin from God, the minute you try to hold on to a sin because you can't bring it before him because he'd make you get rid of it, when you're doing that, then that creates distance between you and God. It creates room for the devil to operate in your life. And that can totally mess up your Christian walk. It won't impact your salvation. Once you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you do have eternal life from that point forward. You can mess up, you can do the wrong thing, you can make mistakes, you're not going to lose that. But you will lose your effectiveness and your joy and the fruit in this life. There will be consequences. So if I had to sum up pretty much what I got out of this series, it's that God loves me. And my favorite line from here, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. Isn't that weird? No, that's not true for people. There's plenty of things you could do to make your spouse love you more. There's plenty of things you could do to make your spouse love you less, or your parents or your kids, right? But not God. He does not operate the way we do. We can't hold him to the same expectations, the same flawed level of behavior of the people we love, because this is not who he is. He loves you, period, loves you, no matter what. Whether you do something wrong, whether you do something right, he loves you. And so when you listen to this, it becomes incredibly clear that this grace, it's called the grace course, that the grace of God's love is incomprehensible, and it's so beautiful once you actually understand it. And listening to these six audio hours of audio, you will come away with a very different feeling about how God sees you, and a very different feeling about yourself. It's amazing. I can't recommend it highly enough. All right, now let me talk about the one woman who didn't like the series. All right, so like the rest of us, she had been very much hurt by a guy who's still out there doing very much bad things in our community, and he's really bad. And she listened to this. And unlike every other person, including me, including probably you, who listens to this, who goes, wow, you mean God loves me even when I do things wrong, even when I'm bad, God still loves me? And the answer is yes. She took away from it, you mean God still loves that guy? She was so upset. She's like, what kind of a loving God would love a guy like that? If that guy turned to Jesus, are you telling me that God would forgive him? I'm saying, yeah, he would. Well, that can't be right. That guy should never be forgiven, no matter what he does, no matter how much he repents. And her reason for hating the series had nothing to do with the series, but it revealed a lot about her heart. She did not want, first of all, it revealed that she was not forgiving this guy. Because when I forgive somebody, even Hitler, even if I was a Jew and Hitler was around, I would be praying. I would need to forgive him for my own sake, meaning let go of the lightning bolt. And there's probably 1,000,000,000 lightning bolts on Hitler from God. I need to let go of them. That's the forgiveness that says, I'm not going to hold you accountable for this because I'm putting you in God's hands. He's going to deal with you. And then pray that he change. Because if Hitler changed, so many people would have been saved. All of history would have been different. If Hitler would have found Jesus Christ and just turned from his sin and his darkness and his hateful heart and all of his horrible deeds, had he turned from that, the world would have been improved. Would it not have? And I would very much like to see Hitler in heaven if he was a totally different guy and God removed all of that yuck from him and washed him clean and set him free. Now, that's not going to happen, right? A guy like Hitler, I mean, he's in so deep, he's not going to turn to God, because if he does, he's got to admit, he's got to actually feel the shame, the horror, the guilt of all the horrible things he's done. And it's probably not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that as a Christian, I don't think, boy, it would be better if it did. So this friend of mine, this acquaintance of mine, was like, I am not going to listen to this series. I got through the first one. I felt worse than I've ever felt. She said, because the number one thing driving all of my thinking is that that guy got away with it and he hasn't been punished. And now I hear this series that you send me and you're just confirming that he can even escape God's punishment. I was like, you missed the whole point, because that guy right now is going to be punished beyond anybody's understanding of punishment, beyond anything you could do to him, anything the cops could do to him, anything the justice system could do to him, anything the mafia or a gang could do to him. God is going to punish him for all eternity. And so don't worry about him getting his just desserts. He will. And that is already, that lightning bolt is on him, but you are holding on to it with both hands. You are like straddling that lightning bolt, and you are being electrocuted morning until night over the sin that is coming, over the punishment that's coming for that guy. Let go of it. let go of it. So anyway, she did not get beyond, I think, the first or second of these audios, because she was just like, the more I hear it, the more I just think, God's not fair. And it's terrible. And I'm like, no, you're missing the point. So ask yourself in your own heart, do you think it is fair that if a person truly repents, and I'm not saying Hitler just goes, oh yeah, I'm a Christian now, okay, well, start me free. No. If he truly, imagine what it would take for Hitler to repent. Imagine what it would feel like in his heart. Imagine the horror, the recognition of what a horrible, sinful monster he was and how much harm he did. The weight of the recognition of acknowledging that and confessing it and asking and repenting of it and asking to be forgiven for it, that's like beyond anything that he was going to be doing. It's very difficult to confess your sins. It's hard. And I would say that's probably the hardest thing in the Christian walk, is humbling yourself before God and saying, I messed up, and I don't want to mess up anymore, and I'm going to confess that I messed up. Please cleanse me. Please change me. That is the hard part. And when I say the Christian walk is difficult, it's difficult in a humbling sense. It's difficult to make yourself weak. It's difficult to not be there with your fangs out and you're snapping at people and cussing and being all strong and angry and lashing out. It's hard to let go of that. It is hard to let go of that and humbly say, oh, forgive me. That's hard. And anyway, so I recommend highly, we're coming to the end of the show, but I highly recommend listen to the series and pray about it. Pray about it and say, Lord, I want you to show me this thing about forgiveness, this thing about punishment, this thing about justice. What's going on there? And he'll show it to you. He'll reveal it. The longer I walk with it, and by the way, I'd love to open up the phone lines at some point, maybe have an open hour of discussion about this, because there's so many questions about justice and forgiveness and hell and why is there hell and isn't that cruel and all these different things. I would love to discuss them. But what I can tell you is, having spent years and years and years focused on these things and trying to understand them, praying about them, asking for wisdom and discernment, that I have come to a pretty deep understanding of it all. Things that at one point I just had to say, you know, God, I don't get it, but you're God and I'm me. You're big and I'm small. You're God and I'm not. So I'm going to, let me compare those two. I think you're probably right. I think I'm probably wrong. And making that decision when you don't know is the wisest decision you can make, because over time he'll give you the wisdom, the maturity, and the understanding, and you'll be like, I get why you were right all along. I wasn't right then. So anyway, listen to the series. It's really awesome. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. This is the end of the show. Can't wait too soon. I will see you guys tomorrow. All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.